You know the kind of day that you're going to have when, as the music is playing and the show is starting, you got to glance over at the little sheet of paper to see what time you're on till. it's Monday. Usually the Tigers are off on Monday, but the Tigers are actually playing tonight. So I'm going till 6:45. All right? That's what this sheet of paper says, so I hope it's right. 6:45, and we're going to kick the show off with a bang today because we're going to talk racing. No, not sailboats. We're going to talk about offshore powerboat racing. Bob Currier is here, and Bob has brought along Brian Kowalski.
Yes.
Okay, I'm glad I didn't mess that up.
Oh, you did good, Dennis. Yeah.
And we're actually probably going to talk more to Brian than we are to you, Bob.
That's fine. I can fill in the blanks.
Anyways, welcome aboard. It's 25 years now that this has been going on in St. Clair. It's going to happen the 26th through the 28th. So basically next weekend or after this coming weekend. And it's going to be a doozy this year.
It is. Little did we know when this started out 25 years ago with about a dozen boats and two races that it would grow into the event that we're going to put on and really put on a good show for the folks this year. We're expecting upwards of 60 teams from across the United States and from overseas. A handful of different boats are going to be coming from overseas, and they're looking forward to enjoying our race site.
Well, what do people enjoy the most when they're out there? Is it actually getting up close and seeing the boats in the pits, or is it the actual racing?
I'd say it's probably both. The teams truly enjoy coming to St. Clair because we have a very compact, intimate venue. We close off the main street through downtown, and that becomes the race village that Brian manages. And the teams are all about the kids and the families and show them the boats and put the kids up in the cockpit and let them get pictures, and they can get up close and personal to these guys. And then on Saturday with testing and Sunday on racing day, it's pretty much grandstand racing. If you got a seat in Palmer Park, downtown St. Clair on the boardwalk, you can see the entire 4 mile race course.
All right. Brian, you're up close with all this. You know all the guys.
Sure.
You're rubbing shoulders with them. What kind of machinery are we talking here? What are these boats like?
You know, they're absolutely amazing. The technology on some of these things are just, it blows my mind every year. The technology changes. I mean, there's boats that are, you know, 18 foot long. There's boats that are 56 foot long. It just depends really on what class that they're in and what level of racing that they're at in for their team. It's a lot of blue collar guys, you know, racing. They work during the week, they race on the weekends, and then we've got a lot of teams that are coming this year that are fully funded. This is what they do for a career. So it's going to be a blast.
How does like the St. Clair River compare to other venues that they would race? Because the river to me is compact, it's fast, and it's choppy. How is that different from other places they would race?
Well, you know, a lot of times they're racing out in the ocean. You know, there's anywhere from 4 foot waves to 8 foot waves that they're out there with, but they don't contend with a current. You know, we've got a 7.5 mile an hour, roughly downstream current that these guys. A lot of these classes are spec classes, so they can't go outside their speed bracket. They've got to take that into consideration when they're going down the course that they're going to add 7.5 miles an hour. And it's the only site that I know of, and I think Bob might concur on this one, that is truly an international racing. You're racing literally in two countries at one time. It is awesome.
Yeah. How complicated does that get?
Oh.
That's Bob's area. <Yeah. laughs>
So one of the things that's in my wheelhouse is managing all of the permits and the permissions. So we wind up dealing with both federal governments, the U.S. Coast Guard and Transport Canada, to apply for a permit to put this event on in both countries and then work through and coordinating that. And now that they're not putting a race on here in Port Huron, we, as Brian says, are truly the only site that we're aware of that races in two countries at the same time.
All right, so putting all this together, getting everybody to come. When did you start? I'm assuming that like as soon as it ended last year, you're already working on this year.
Pretty much. We kind of take a week or two of downtime and take a breath and look at what went well and what we need to fine-tune to make it work better. In earnest, we usually start in January. The permit applications must be into both governments in the January time frame, so they've got time to process it, work through it, ask us any questions. The other piece that is huge, and we're really excited because we had a new major sponsor step up this year, but it's raising the sponsorships. It's not an inexpensive sport on the team side of things, and it's not inexpensive from a promoter's perspective either to put an event on like this. So
I know you guys were telling me Geico was a big sponsor. I gotta think that there's a little bit of money in the insurance business and that the Geico people do pretty well.
Yeah, I would guess.
They've got nice boats. Yeah. And
yeah, more than one. Yeah.
They do, and a lot of the teams that's all they do, and the Geico crew, that's all the guys do that work with that team year-round, is get that boat ready to go different race sites, and they're going to be a little busy right now because they rolled over in Sarasota and broke their boat, and they're basically rigging a boat that they leased within an hour or so of rolling over down there. So those guys are scrambling to get their new boat or their lease boat ready for St. Clair.
So we think of our little community of St. Clair and our little blue water area. These boats race in Florida. Where else are they going?
So this year, and you ask off the air before the show started, why such a group of boats are going to be in St. Clair this year. And two organizations in the boat racing community at the end of the year last year sat down and said, we want to try something. We want to try and unify racing. OPA Racing, who has been bringing the sanctioning group and the boats to St. Clair for the last 14 years, and they're based out of New Jersey, so they've got a lot of East Coast racers and Midwest guys, partnered with an organization called Powerboat P1. They're actually headquartered in the UK, and they bring a different flavor with boats out of the UK, New Zealand, Dubai, UAE, and the principles in both organizations are exact opposites of each other, and it actually has worked well. They put together under the APBA, the American Powerboat Association umbrella, a 6-site championship series for offshore this year. And so far they've raced in Cocoa Beach, Florida. Nice venue.
Yeah, nice venue.
Had an opportunity to be there for the inaugural race, and they had 59 teams race, 63 registered. Four of the teams that were registered didn't do real well in testing and couldn't race on Sunday. Lake of the Ozarks, on a lake, they had 53 teams answer roll call and race there a few weeks ago. And just this past weekend in Sarasota, Florida, they had 67 teams race. And St. Clair's the fourth stop out of 6. They'll leave here, go to Michigan City, Indiana, and then finish the series up in Fort Myers, Florida.
Wow. Okay. So it's you've got the ocean, you've got a river, you've got a great lake, an inland lake. That's a lot of differences to me.
You know, a couple of years ago, we actually had some RC boats. Some of the teams had RC boats of what their boat looks like. We raced those in a pool, so I guess you could say a pool. That was kind of right. Fun.
And they had the radio control boats.
It's got to be a big pool.
Yeah.
They had the radio control boats in Cocoa Beach, where they had their base village down there. It's an area called the Cove, and they've got a huge natural pond down there, and they raced the little ones in the pond.
How Brian, how approachable are these guys? Am I going to be a bother to them if I come up in the pits and start asking them a million questions? And
the guys love it. They absolutely love it, especially if you got kids with you. They want to talk about their stuff. Whether their boat is 20 foot or their boat's 50 foot, they want to talk about it and tell you about it. They'll go so far out of the way to answer questions and make things happen. Mm-hmm. They put kids in the cockpits. They give them little trinkets and hero cards and that sort of thing. The guys are so personable. It's not fun. There's a lot of shenanigans that goes off amongst racers, between racers. And it's a family atmosphere. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, they're just racers and they put their pants on just like we all do. They get up in the morning the same way. They just like to have fun.
Much of a following, like are there people, is it like NASCAR where people are follow it to all six stops and make a weekend of it?
Oh, yeah. There are people, you can go online, there's forums online that people follow and write. And there are people that, this is how they spend their vacation. They take a vacation day on a Friday and a vacation day on a Monday so they can get to the site and come back from the race. In racing all over the country, I mean, you get to see so much diversity and so much culture. It's a blast. You know, you go down south, you can't get a Coney dog down there, but them guys love it when they come up here and have a Coney dog. We like it kind of when we go down there and can have crawfish. So,
but it is, Brian mentions, it's a family. You know, a couple of stories about the teams and the racers. When the green flag goes up, it's all about racing, and a lot of times you'll hear the saying, Rubbin's racing, and these guys are going to rub in the corners a little bit. A few years ago, two different situations. One team on Saturday during testing broke. They basically tore the outdrive off the back of their boat. They were towed in. The boat was sinking. They put it on the trailer. They brought it back into the pits, and they started wrenching on it. And 13 different teams dropped what they were doing, worked all night. The pizza place at the time in St. Clair stayed open until 4:30 in the morning to feed the guys. They came out on Sunday and they won their class.
With a borrowed motor.
Yeah, with a borrowed motor.
From the second place team, that was a bummer.
And when they were called up to receive their first place trophy, they insisted that members of all 13 teams come up and accept the trophy with them. So they're about the sport. They're about being part of the family. And like I said, it's all about racing and winning. And some of these guys have got egos bigger than this radio station building.
Oh, my. But, you know, and it's cool, too, because you see a lot of, like, two buddies, you know, racing. One guy's throttling, one guy's driving. We've got father and son teams, father and daughter teams, husband and wife teams. It's kind of like our own little family. It's like my second family, I want to say sometimes. You know, I get to see these guys once a year here in St. Clair, and I see them at the other sites. It's just a big family fun event. Yeah. And it's just, there's no other way to explain it. I mean, all the guys go to church Sunday morning together at the driver's meeting. They have a pastor that travels with them. They'll read a passage out of the Bible, tell you a story about it. And then they'll ask, make sure everybody stays safe. They all share things together. And that's what's so cool about it.
All right. And big stars, any names that we need to follow, any local?
Oh, absolutely. We've got a hometown roots.
Yep.
The 9-time world champion in Ed Smith from St. Clair. Ed formerly raced in a Supercat boat, and his sponsor decided to go a different way after last season, and Ed wound up buying his own boat, and his team is now known as Knucklehead Racing Instigator. So the boat that he bought is a Fountain single hull V-bottom, and it formerly was racing as Instigator was the name of the boat then, and Ed's renamed it to Knucklehead Racing. And in St. Clair, Ed and his son Sean will be in the boat together cool local hometown stuff.
Yep.
Another team is coming out of retirement that has somewhat of a local flavor, and that's the Broadco boat. They're coming back. They haven't raced in 2 or 3 years. They were actually the backdrop of the major sponsorship press conference that we held a couple weeks ago, announcing that the St. Clarion is major sponsor, and they are now the title sponsor of the event. So those are the two local flavors, really. But, you know, who else should they follow, Brian, or the big names that...
You know, I'm looking this year at some of these teams that are coming. We've got teams coming from New Zealand, from Australia. The Australia guys are funny because you can't understand what they say sometimes, and they can't understand you. The guys from Dubai, they're always good for a good showing. So, I mean, you just got to take your pick. Some people go for the flashy color in the paint. Some people go for the personality, or the listen to the motors. It's really entirely up to you.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I'm very proud of this year that we're doing, it's our third year. We had a founding member, Ray Scuda. He was with us 22 years from the beginning. He was one of the founding members with Bob and a couple others that are still around. We lost Ray a couple years ago. And we sat down, we were trying to think of, wait, how could we honor him? And Ray was one of those guys that he always kind of done stuff behind the scenes, didn't talk much about it, did his own thing, got stuff done. But it was all important things that helped make my job easier, make Bob's job easier, and everybody else that's lined out in different areas. We created the Ray Scuda Memorial Unsung Hero Award. And we started looking at who could we present this award to. It's a perpetual trophy. So the first year, we actually gave that trophy to Dave Burgess from Raymond Cranes. Dave puts tons and tons of time, tons and tons of effort his guys do into the event. He donates the cranes to us. I mean, all kinds of great stuff. So we gave it to him. He had it the first year, brought it back to us just before the race. Last year, we gave it to Ed Smith from Rivers Bend Marina, along with all the crew from Rivers Bend. You know, these race teams, they're coming into town now. There's teams that are on the road. I actually talked to one today that's on the road. They're going to be out at Rivers Bend for a week or so, camping and working on their stuff and getting ready. And Ed opens his shop up to them like you wouldn't believe. I mean, they walk in the morning, the doors are open. They need tools. It's there. Ed's helping them with lifts, and it's awesome. So that, I can't divulge this year's recipient, but I would encourage anybody that wants to see it to come out to the Sinclair Fire Hall at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, because that's when you're going to see that award presented. And I assure you, this year is going to be a big surprise.
All right, guys, I hope it's a great event. Thanks for coming in, Bob Currier and Brian Kowalski. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.
But thanks,
I have to
Dennis.
Take a break.
Thanks so much.
All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be back with more in just a moment here on the Dennis Stuckey Show on AM 1380 WPHM. Bob and Brian decided to hang around, and I'm not the kind of guy to kick anybody out of the studio. And besides, it's fun. I don't get to see Bob that much anymore. Bob and I used to see each other all the time back in the heyday of my hockey career. You're at McMorran every night that I was at McMorran.
We lived there.
We lived there. And now, yeah, sometimes we bump into each other when we're at a game.
Here and there. If you decide to come to a game.
It's not like it was in the old days.
You know? No.
I used to have to come to the games. Now I can come at my leisure, and this place makes me work a lot, too, sometimes during those night games. So.
And in the early days of of that friendship, we would wave at each other across the ice from the booths, you from the announcing booth and myself from the officials booth on the other side.
Yep. And, because we were on opposite sides of the ice. I was in the Mike Emmerich booth. By the way, Mike stopped by this afternoon because he was dropping me off a book full of, well, he's a stat guy, so he likes to give me stats to go over. So I got something to look at later tonight when I'm sitting here babysitting the Tiger game.
Wow.
Well, that's kind of what it is.
So we talked a lot about earlier the boats that are coming to town, and it actually takes the teams to come into town to put the show on. But there's a tremendous amount of things that go on in the background that the fans really don't see that takes to execute that. And we'd be very remiss if we didn't talk about, and this by no means is a complete list, of the folks that are sponsors of the event and help us out either financially or with in-kind types of things. We mentioned the St. Clair Inn. Jeff Kotofsky and Rick Barreca stepped in this year, and they're truly making a commitment to the area, and they believe that they needed to help out with the race being probably the largest event in St. Clair over the course of the summer. But there are others. Brian alluded to Dave Burgess being the recipient first year of the Unsung Heroes Award, and Raymond Cranes provides the cranes, and they have been doing that since the very first year. Yeah. We've had no other crane provider, and they provide the crane. This year they're going to provide two to make it more efficient with the increased number of boats. We receive a grant from the DTE Foundation every year to help offset some of our safety costs and other things. The entertainment side of the event, known as Riverfest, the bands that play Friday and Saturday night, we believe that we are also the only site where the stage is actually a barge, and Barb Malcolm and Malcolm Marine provide that barge to be outfitted as a stage at no cost to us. The same as they do for the fireworks display in St. Clair, they provide the barges that are platforms for that. And then a lot of our local eateries and drinking watering holes, drifters.
The real reason that I show up to events.
Yeah.
It's to sample the nachos. Yeah.
Drifters and LaCroix, Murphy and Paul and Barb at Murphy's are great supporters throughout the year. Pepper Joe's, they have a seawall behind the restaurant, and they actually let us use that portion of the seawall, so we have the entire north wall of the Pine River to stage boats and our volunteer boats at. The Voyager and Warwater Brewery, the awards ceremony is actually hosted by Warwater on Sunday evening in the center court of the plaza. But and then it takes in the neighborhood of 200 or so volunteers doing various roles at the race site. We have 30 folks that give up their weekend, their own gas, and their boat to be volunteer patrol boats on the water, and that's a great crew. Fire departments from up and down the River District come in to help St. Clair and provide their boat to be medical and dive boats. We have 6 to 8 medical rescue boats that have a captain, a crew member, two medical personnel, and two rescue divers on board, along with a start-finish boat, turn boats, and we charter a helicopter, and a couple of the divers think it's perfectly good fun to fall out of a perfectly good aircraft. we fly the course with rescue divers, and the radio call for that helicopter is Angel One, and it's a good day on the race course when those divers stay dry.
Yep.
We really want to see them stay in the helicopter, but they're there to enhance the resources that are on the water. So it's a huge undertaking. U.S. and Canadian federal governments, the city of St. Clair,
tremendous.
From the administration to city council, public works guys, the public works guys do nothing but focus on getting set up for this event beginning next Monday with snow fencing and barricades and a road closure and other things. They just do a tremendous amount of work. Our Sheriff's Marine Unit, Sheriff's Dive Team, Tri-Hospital EMS provides us with two ambulances. One is totally dedicated to the event on Sunday, so we are guaranteed to have an advanced life support unit there all day throughout the racing. And if something happens and that unit goes out, they move another one in and keep them there. Along with, they usually have at least two other units in and around the area for the event just because of the people that are there. It's not something that just a handful of us do in this organization, Blue Water, and we're very thankful to our volunteers and the folks that keep coming back. So,
all right. So if I come out on the weekend when the event is going on, what are the best times? So when am I going to see the action?
Well, we're actually,
I want the action. I want the food and I want the action.
Well, we're actually closing down M29 this year, a day early. We needed that to, you know, facilitate getting all these extra teams in town. So that's going to be Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Race Village will be open all day Thursday. Teams will be arriving all day Thursday, all day Friday. Friday night's going to be a fun time. We always have a, what we call a party in the pits around 5:30, 6 o'clock. That's your opportunity to come down. The guys are right there with their boats. You can walk from boat to boat, meet the guys, get the hero cards, take the pictures. You can do it anytime you want, but we kind of tell the guys, hey, make sure you're all by your boats at six, between 6 and 7 for that time, for everybody to come down. If for some reason you can't make it down the race weekend, check us out on live stream. We're also looking at doing it on Facebook Live. I can't guarantee you that one yet, but we're definitely going to be on live stream. But we'd rather see you out there having fun. I'm going to tell you, the pretzel guy and the tie rolled ice cream, they got my votes.
So if you're interested in the food, that'll all start Friday afternoon.
Oh, boy.
Perfect.
Along with the entertainment. The noise will start Saturday. Testing will be from noon until 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon. And then on Sunday is the actual racing. The first race is scheduled to go at noon. And we believe that we're looking at the possibility of five races on Sunday with the number of boats and the classes that are going to be in town. So we're going to have a lot of racing on Sunday afternoon.
Good stuff.
And the food will be there and the beverages will be there. And
concerts are starting at 5:45 on Friday and then both Saturday. Friday night, our headliner this year is the Spin Doctors. I'm telling you, a great, you know, late 80s, early 90s band. Yep. Saturday, Blue Oyster Cult. It can't get much better than the two of them.
Oh.
You know, unless you're a little older.
You're right in my wheelhouse. Actually, you're right in my wheelhouse. I don't know what you're doing for everybody else, but for me, you have piqued my interest.
Yeah.
And then we've got some local bands that are warming up to the headliners over the course of the weekend. Brent Miro, the Gobies, couple of names there on Friday that folks are familiar with. Los Gringos on Saturday, another local group that everybody's heard and loves to come out and listen to. So
Ezra, I think.
Yeah. All right. So 26th, 27th, 28th of this month. Like, it's coming up fast.
Next days. Week.
Hope you guys are prepared. Okay, I got to take a break and get into the top of the hour news and all that good stuff. But again, we're probably hanging out here till about 6:30 this evening on the Dennis Stuckey Show, and we've got a lot more coming. So stick around.